ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, Julia Baird and Jeremy Fernandez here. And on our pod, Not Stupid, we unpack some of the big and more curious stories of the week.
From whatever's going on in America right now to AI slop and stolen artifacts.
You can find Not Stupid on ABC Listen.
Donald Trump was Jeffrey Epstein's one-time friend, and his name appears countless times in the Epstein files. But it's not the US president who's currently fighting for his political survival. Instead, it's the British leader who's on very shaky ground, even though he's not even named in the documents. Today, Professor of Politics at Deakin Uni, Simon Tormey, on how Keir Starmer became so deeply embroiled in the controversy. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
An impending cloud of doom hovers over Downing Street. Inside, a Prime Minister fighting to keep his job.
He is throwing everyone under a bus except himself.
The distraction needs to end, and the leadership in Downing Street has to change.
We can't just keep going on like this, lurching from one crisis to the next.
The man at the centre of the scandal threatening to bring down a government is Peter Mandelson, the UK's former ambassador to the United States.
Mandelson betrayed our country, our parliament, and my party. I regret appointing him. If I knew then what I know now, he would never have been anywhere near government.
Simon, it seems the Brits are really caught up in these Epstein files. Andrew, of course, the former prince, he lost his title over them and his castle. But really, one of the most extraordinary things is that it's Keir Starmer, who isn't even mentioned in them, who's under a huge amount of pressure.
He is, for the simple reason that he made the call to appoint Peter Mandelson to be UK ambassador to the US, which is, of course, a really high-profile role and brought Peter Mandelson right back into public life and really entrusted him with a very important relationship with the US and Donald Trump at a time when, you know, the geopolitics of all this are really important. Ambassador positions, as we know, they sometimes fly under the radar, but a bit like Kevin Rudd for us, Peter Mandelson was in a real position of influence and importance there. Mm. So that's why the spotlight has fallen on Keir Starmer.
Yeah, all right, okay. And Peter Mandelson, of course, appears in these files a lot.
He's named in the Epstein files thousands of times, and the closeness of his relationship with the late convicted sex offender has become clear in the latest trove of documents.
So he took up his post in February 2025, and then, of course, he was removed by Keir Starmer in September of last year. So he didn't last too long, and that was the first time, of course, that he appeared in these Epstein files, the first tranche of files that was released.
That's right. So not a very long tenure, but, you know, the latest batch of files, the 3 million items that were released, made Pat Mandelson look completely implicit in the whole episode, and the scandal has really taken on a life of its own. I mean, a lot of people in the UK would say this is the biggest political scandal since the early 1960s, and there have been an awful lot of scandals since then. So it really has rolled a hand grenade into the middle of political life in the UK. The atmosphere is very febrile at the moment, and probably rightly so, because it really is a kind of major scandal, which also, of course, engulfs the royal family as well, otherwise kind of untouchable.
Yeah, so Mr. Mandelson was very deeply linked to Jeffrey Epstein. That's what these documents show us. Just tell me what we learnt from these files. There's photographs and everything, right?
There are photographs of a very incriminating kind, and one in particular of Mandelson in his wife fronts wandering around an apartment in Paris.
Lord Peter Mandelson, pictured in his underwear with a young woman inside a property linked to convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
There are others of them sort of shopping together. They obviously had a very close relationship, and some of the other files are really kind of toe-curlingly sort of cringe-making. Mandelson saying, you know, we love you, Jeffrey. We know that you've been harshly dealt with. This is all the time whilst Jeffrey Epstein was in prison for, you know, sex offences and so on. So the release of these files is terrible for Peter Mandelson, terrible for the royal family, for Fergie in particular. There are some really awful notes there, which really kind of demonstrate a great depth of attachment to Jeffrey Epstein.
In the mountain of newly released files relating to Jeffrey Epstein sits a 2010 email appearing to be from Sarah Ferguson to the late sex offender, gushing, "You are a legend, just marry me." Another email thanks him for being the brother she had always wished for.
He had this incredible ability to exercise power over other very powerful people. And what's been coming out in these files is the kind of depth to which people were prepared to sort of bare their souls to him, really. Really quite sordid and quite extraordinary set of files that have been released.
And one of the most extraordinary things is that Mandelson forwarded confidential government analysis, market-sensitive information, to Jeffrey Epstein. That's in the files too.
It is. So all sorts of information about the global financial crisis, insights into British intelligence thinking about current geopolitics, the threat of China and Russia and so on. So we are looking at something which is really, really murky. There is going to be a very extensive police investigation. They've already raided his two properties in the UK. So we're by no means out of the end of the tunnel here. And of course, as long as these allegations and as long as the investigations are going, that casts a shadow over Keir Starmer. So it's going to be a very difficult one for him to escape from due to the ongoing nature of the investigations.
Peter Mandelson, he denies any wrongdoing. But tell me, what else has he had to say?
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, he has said the right things, I think, and he has fronted up and he's expressed his serious regret about getting involved with Jeffrey Epstein and the victims of Epstein's activities and so on. So I think, you know, he has demonstrated a lot of remorse, but there are still shenanigans going on in the background. So he was given a check for £60,000 to release him from his post as ambassador to the US. Now, a lot of people say, hold on a second, if you were really remorseful about it, you'd be either refusing that handout or you'd be giving it to charity or so on. So there is still a kind of sense that Mandelson is still a victim of his own hubris, I think, and also that there's a part of him clearly feels that he's been wrong, that he is a stature figure, that he does have something to offer to British political life. But, you know, the whole thing has escalated way out of his control now. And I think he really is a doomed figure, as is Andrew Mountbatten Windsor as well. I just don't think after the end of this scandal, we hear very much from either of them.
Well, Simon, let's then consider a bit more this pressure that's been building on the UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer and how it could really be his downfall. Now, things got pretty tricky, didn't they, for the British Prime Minister when he faced intense questioning in Parliament.
He says if he knew then what he knows now, but he did know. In January 2024, that Mandelson had stayed in Epstein's house even after that conviction for child prostitution. So did the Prime Minister conveniently forget this fact, or did he decide it was a risk worth taking?
And he actually had to admit he was aware of the relationship between Epstein and Mandelson when he appointed him to that diplomatic post.
So that's correct. So this is the story as it's emerged towards the end of last week. When the files were released, the questions were asked, and then Keir Starmer had a front up in the House of Commons and basically give an explanation for how it was that someone who he knew had been implicated with Jeffrey Epstein, convicted sex offender, how he's made this appointment. And I think, again, Starmer being the lawyer, clever with words, able to articulate a position, but clearly, you know, confounded by the depth of public anger and disgust about this thing. And he's had to put his hand up and say, yeah, it was a lapse of judgment.
The victims of Epstein have lived with trauma that most of us can barely comprehend. Sorry for what was done to you. Sorry that so many people with power failed you. Sorry for having believed Mandelson's lies and appointed him.
His very closest aides, if you like, have been asked to resign. So this is a current unfolding mess. We're not quite sure where it's going to land, but of course, speculation is rife.
Yeah, pressure keeps growing. All right, well, Keir Starmer's only been there for 18 months. And he has, as we mentioned, been rather unpopular, hasn't he? Even though he actually won the election with an overwhelming parliamentary majority. What's he getting so wrong?
I think there are a number of things. Look, I think the situation in the UK is not good, as we know. Economically, there's a lot of problems there, and there are a lot of conflicting demands. You know, how do you stimulate economic growth whilst at the same time supporting a large welfare state, the NHS, benefits, and, you know, trying to square the circle when you've got very low growth and you've got a kind of a broad context there in Europe where there isn't a lot of economic stimulus is really, I think, at the heart of the problem, that they're making promises which they can't really keep. But I think the kind of the central issue is his own personality. He's not a very charismatic figure. He's quite a technocratic operator. He's not someone who is able to state a bold vision and then try to see it through. He is a kind of a political operator stroke lawyer stroke party man. And I think people have looked to the Prime Minister to provide a kind of clear steer, a clear analysis of what's going wrong and how his party and his government are going to deal with it. And that really has not been the case. In the meantime, you've had some other parties, particularly Reform under Nigel Farage and the Green Party under Zach Polanski, have really been able to articulate a serious critique of what's going on. And they've allied that to social justice issues on the Green Party side and to immigration and the need to sort of control the flow of refugees on the other side. So there is a kind of, you know, the very febrile sense of how politics is unfolding in the UK. And all the while, Starmer looks very uncertain, very tentative, not quite clear what his best course of action should be. And this is causing a lot of nervous kind of stress amongst his own party colleagues as well.
All right. So he might survive in the short term, and that's still a might, of course. But what about the longer term? Can he really hold on?
I think he holds on until the May elections to the local councils. And I think the May elections are going to be a massacre, frankly. So at that point, then, it's still a long way out from the end of this parliament. So he's still got till 2029, 5-year parliaments, obviously, in the UK. But I just think that the kind of faith in his leadership has waned. And then another big hammer blow will be those kind of May elections. And then I think the sort of likely runners and riders in the party room will then get their head and will be encouraged to stand forward. Very, very similar with Susan Lee's position in the Liberal Party. It is a kind of hour by hour, day by day operation. Yes. But I'd be surprised if Starmer is booted before May, but I'd also then be surprised if he was managed to survive after May.
Yeah, we seem to like leadership spills, that's for sure. The Aussies and the Brits.
We do.
All right, so Simon, there's this huge political scandal stemming, of course, from the Epstein files. But what do you think, will anyone in the UK actually be forced to answer questions in relation to this?
Well, I think we're in that moment now, Sam. I think Keir Starmer is under intense public scrutiny. People are really raking back through the appointments that have been made, the promises that have been made. Same for Andrew Winter Mountbatten as well. It is a frenzy of activity in the UK, and it's difficult to convey to an Australian audience, but there's barely anything on the British front pages apart from, you know, news of the football and news of the Epstein scandal. So we're by no means at the end of the tunnel of darkness which this affair has produced. Far from it. We're right in the middle and right in the thick of a really important scandal in British public life.
Simon Tormey is the Executive Dean of Arts and Education and Professor of Politics at Deakin University. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Cinnamon Nippard. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. Make sure you look out for a bonus episode from us on Friday about the Liberal leadership spill. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.